He seemed to expect a comment, so I suggested the wedding be postponed. On what pretext? If the real reason were known, the marriage could never take place at all, obviously. And the Strachan's pot would boil over. At the moment, no one knows of Carl Gustav's malady except his own physician and two highly placed Danish ministers. The rest of Denmark, Black Germany and Strachan suspects nothing amiss and expects the wedding to go forward. You say only three people know that this prince has Cupid's measles? Then how do you know? I have my own sources. The three I mentioned, the prince and ourselves, are the only people who know. Rest assured. He juggled the object in his hand. The wedding must take place.
Well, he'll just have to marry her, clap and all, won't he?
What else? Out of the question, says de Gautier, speaking for the first time. Humanitarian reasons apart, it would surely be discovered afterwards, and the ensuing scandal would have as disastrous an effect as a postponement of the marriage.
Well, then, talk sense, says I. If the prince can't marry her in 6 weeks, the wedding's off, ain't it? You'll have to think of something else.
We have, says Bismarck, and the wedding will take place.
You're talking bloody nonsense, says I.
Anyway, what the hell do I care? What's all this to do with me?
Bismarck tossed down on the table the thing he'd been holding. It slithered along the length of the wood and stopped in front of me. I saw it was a gold case, oval, and about 4 inches long.
Open it, says Bismarck.
I touched the catch, and the thing sprang open. In it was a miniature, in very fine colour, showing a man in uniform, youngish, but with a completely bald head, which gave him an unnatural look. He wasn't bad-looking, though, and it seemed to me I knew him. And then the case dropped from my fingers, and the room seemed to swim about me, for I did know him. Saving the bald head, the face in the miniature was my own. It was all too familiar from my own mirror. The likeness was uncanny. Exact.
Prince Carl Gustav of Denmark,
says Bismarck, and his voice seemed to be coming through a fog. I'm not often at a loss for words, but at that moment I sat stricken dumb. The enormity of the idea, for it was as plain as a pikestaff in an instant, was beyond reasonable comment. I just sat and gaped from them to the miniature and back, and Rudy's jovial laugh rang out.
"Magnificent!" cries he. "I'd not have missed that moment for a dukedom. I wish you could have seen your face. Your own face, I mean."
"You will remember," says Bismarck, "that when we first met in London I was puzzled to remember where I'd seen you before. I had not, of course, but I had seen the young Prince Karl when he visited Berlin. I realized then that you were doppelgangers, identical bodies, and regarded it as an interesting fact, no more. 3 months ago, when I first learned of the prince's indisposition, and that his response to treatment was too slow to make it possible that he be married on the required date, I remembered the fact again. I perceived that here lay a way out. At first, as you may appreciate, I rejected the notion as absurd. Then I applied myself to study it minutely, and saw that it was possible. Incredible, perhaps, but still possible. I planned it step by step, and saw that with proper care and preparation, it was more than that. It was virtually certain of success. My decision taken, I set in motion the events that have brought you here to Schönhausen. At last I found my tongue.
"You're mad," I shouted. "You're a raving lunatic. You'd substitute me for him to attempt the maddest, most ridiculous..."
"Silence!"
he shouted, and came round the table, his face working with passion. "Do you suppose I have entered on this matter lightly, that I have not examined it time and time again before I determined on it? Do you imagine I designed the plans that has brought you here and spent the time and money I have used without being certain that I could complete the whole business?" He bent down, his face close to mine, and spoke rapidly and quietly. Consider, if you have the intelligence, the minute thoroughness of the stratagems that has brought you this far, planned my English numbskull with a care and precision that your slow wits cannot conceive.
Genius,
says Kraftstein, jerking his head like a doll.
Only one thing was a matter of chance. Your presence in England, it was the prerequisite, and by good fortune it was there. The rest, organization.
Bismarck took a breath and straightened up.
And as we have begun, so we will proceed.
Well, I saw one thing. He was mad. They all were. By God, if they thought they were dragging me into their lunacy, they'd got the wrong man. I won't touch it, says I. And that's flat. Do you think I'm as big a fool as you are? Good God, man, the thing's impossible. I wouldn't last 5 minutes as substitute for this poxed-up Danish fella. And what then, eh? Bismarck considered me a moment. Then,
fill his glass, Kraftstein.
He walked back to his seat and stretched his legs.
It is perhaps unreasonable to expect you to accept this scheme without being convinced of its soundness. Tell me, why do you suppose it might fail?